Praise the Lord, everyone. I know there's not many of us here tonight. Jane and Anna are out with the flu. Diane is still recovering from that heart attack, and Barb's probably helping her. So it's we are missing some people tonight, and we're looking forward to when everybody can be here again. But I tell you what, the Lord has promised, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And you know, there's more than two or three of us here tonight, so praise the Lord for that. And we're going to be singing some songs for a while. We're going to worship God. And then after that, Shirley is going to lead us in a Bible study. But before we do anything tonight, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, seeking thy guidance and thy direction, praying, O God, that thou wouldst be here with us this day, this evening. We ask that thy Spirit would be upon us, let thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us, we pray, as we sing unto thee, to truly give thee our hearts, to truly give thee our hearts, Lord, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. For we know that thou seekest us to worship thee. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst be all over this service here tonight. Guide us and direct us in all things, we pray, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be starting in a chorus book tonight, number 157, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and
sing without him, because we do need him. We are helpless without him. Praise the Lord. Number 91.
Oh. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me.
To God. Why don't we go to number 26 and sing In His Presence? In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine! I am His, and He is mine. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. why don't we go to number, well, let's sing number 72, for He is Lord. 72. For He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue He is Lord, and He was victorious when He went to that cross for you and I. Why don't we go to the hymnals now, the Melodies of Praise hymnal, and we're going to sing number 97, He was nailed to the cross for me. Of
cross for me. On the cross crucified for me, he died. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he carried our sorrows too. He's the healer of every sickness. This he came to the world to do. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. On the cross crucified for me, he died. He was nailed to the cross for me. So he gave his life for others, in redeeming this world from sin. And he's gone to prepare a mansion, that at last we may enter in. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. On the cross crucified for me, he died. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross. On the cross crucified. To the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know, he did go to that cross for us, and he did die on that cross, but that wasn't the end of the story. Oh no, they put him in a grave, but after 3 days and three nights, he rose from that grave victorious, victorious over the devil, victorious over sin, so that we too may be victorious. And he lives today, even today. Praise the Lord. You know, he's not still on that cross. I know a lot of Catholics, they carry around crucifixes, but he's not on that cross anymore. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 86 and sing He Lives.
Lives, Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you.
Hallelujah. It is wonderful to know we have a risen Savior. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do at this point is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy blessings, for Thy guidance, for Thy direction, for showing us what we must do. And we pray, O God, for that continued guidance. Give us wisdom, O Lord, on how these funds should be used. For we know that these funds belong to Thee for Thy purpose, for the sake of Thy name, for Thy glory. And we pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight. And we also ask that Thou hast blessed those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we should probably pray for a few people. I know Diane, she's recovering from that heart attack, and she's been very weak. It's hard for her to do some of the things she used to do, so we're going to pray for her. And I know Gabby was here on Sunday. She's doing a lot better, but she's still getting headaches. Last I heard, when I talked to Rob about it on Sunday, she's still getting some headaches, so we're going to pray for a complete healing for her. And I know Jane and Anna, they have the flu, so we'll pray for them. And, you know, it seems like everybody needs prayer these days. A lot of people are having health problems here, so we're going to pray right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night on behalf of Diane, asking, O God, that Thou hast reached down from heaven. Give her the strength she needs, O Lord. Help her to recover her strength so that she may once again do the things she used to do. And we pray, O God, that Thou hast moved upon her with Thy Holy Ghost, with Thy Spirit, with Thy healing power, with Thy healing virtue. Let her feel Thy touch now, even now, as we pray for her, Lord. We ask, O God, that she would feel Thy power, that she would feel Thy closeness to her, and that she would know that Thou art right there with her. We ask, O God, that Thou hast lift her up, strengthen her, Lord, heal her completely, give her a complete healing and a complete recovery. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we pray once again for Gabby, asking, O God, that Thou hast continued to heal her. We pray, O God, for a complete recovery, a complete healing, that there would be no residual effects, no more headaches. But we ask, O God, for a healing touch for her this night. Heal her completely, we pray. Give her a complete deliverance, a complete healing, we ask. We pray this in in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we pray this night for Jane and Anna, asking, O God, that thou hast given them a quick recovery from this flu. And we pray, O God, that they would feel thy closeness to them this night, even as they go through this miserable virus. We pray, O God, for a complete healing, a complete deliverance. Strengthen them and lift them up, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we pray this night for anyone else who may be ailing, for anyone else who may be feeling sick or under the weather or weak or tired. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst lift them all up. For Lord, we know that this world can have a very devastating effect sometimes, and we pray, O God, for strength from thee. We pray, O God, that thou hast continued to strengthen us all. Lift us up, we pray. Let us all be filled with thy Spirit and full of the Holy Ghost. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, there's so many songs we could sing, but just the one that just popped into my head right now is They That Wait Upon the Lord. And let's see, that's number 48 in the chorus book. 48 in the chorus book. It seems like a wonderful song to sing, so we're going to sing that one right now. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, with that thought in mind, we will turn it over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. He is good to us. Amen. He is good. And then even though we're just tiny in number here tonight, God is here. And praise the Lord. It is so good to worship the Lord. It is just so wonderful to be able to pour out our hearts to Him and meditate on Him and get in that place where we're in His presence. Oh my, there's no place like the presence of the Lord. There's just no place at all. That's where everything dissolves. And all at once, the cares of this world become as nothing because we're in His presence. And he knows how to encompass it all. He knows how to remove our sorrows, our doubts, our fears, our misgivings. He knows how to take care of it all. And wow, there's just nothing like that. You know, it is wonderful that we do have a risen God. It just really is wonderful. I pity those poor people that don't understand and don't know and don't want to acknowledge our God. You know, we're so privileged to be able to do it right now. Right now, they're all going to see, they're all going to understand one day who He is. But it's going to be kind of light, isn't it, at that moment? Oh yes, it's going to be kind of light, and we have that privilege right now. He's revealed Himself to us. I mean, what a joy! We are so blessed to know Him. And I just thank God. It's been really nice to have Neil and Kim with us, or with me, with these last several days. Now it's a week plus, and it's been good. It's been real dear, and good to see you, Vicki, and you know, all you online, we're just thankful that you're here, that you're with us tonight, and most of all that God is here with us, that His presence comes down. You know, it's nothing like lifting Him up. It's nothing like worshiping Him. There's something that happens to our hearts when we lift up our hearts with our hands, you know, and we draw nigh to God. He draws nigh to us, and you know, all at once, the things of this world lose their impact, you know, their heaviness. Oh, you know, the agitation all at once is brought to the cross, and we can lay it down, and you know, it's beyond us, it's over. We come to the Lord, and He is so gracious to us. I just thank God. I don't know just where other people go or what all they do without the Lord, but I'm so grateful that He's revealed Himself unto us. Praise the Lord, and you know, we can go boldly into that throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find help in the time of need. We can go boldly, you know, we don't have to hesitate, we don't have to worry. We know He's there, and He bids us to come. And there's no friend like that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay, we're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to help us. Oh, Heavenly Father, we so thank You, God. Oh, God, that we can open up Your Word. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm so glad You said, fear not, little flock. Oh, Lord. Oh, it's Your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Lord, it's Your good pleasure to be here, Lord. Oh, God, it's Your good pleasure to pour out of Your Spirit, Lord. Oh, God, and to bring us to that higher ground. Oh, God, I pray that You talk to us tonight, Lord. Oh, God, we're coming to You, Jesus. Oh, God, we're petitioning You, Lord. We're coming to Your throne, Lord. We know that we need You, Lord. We can do nothing without You, Lord. Oh, God, You are the only door that leads to eternal life. And, oh, God, we thank You that You've opened it for us, Lord. Oh, God, we're so thankful that You've given us eyes to see and ears to hear. Oh, God, a mind to comprehend. Oh, Lord, we thank You, Jesus. Oh, God, and we lift up our hearts, our hands unto You, Lord. And oh, God, we acknowledge You, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord, that we can draw nigh to You, Lord. I pray that You meet the needs of these people, Lord. Oh, God, all those online, those sitting here, Lord Jesus, those that will someday hear this message, I pray that You would meet their needs, God. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that, oh, God, You would bind the strong man and every, oh, God, every work of darkness, everything they would seek to hinder, Lord, everything they would seek to come against us, Lord. Oh, Lord, for we come unto Thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, oh, knowing that Thou hast the keys. Oh, Lord, Thou hast, oh, Lord, the way. Oh, Lord, the only way, the truth, the way, the light. And, oh, God, no man can come unto the Father but by Thee. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord. I pray that You'd use this word, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd anoint it. Oh, God, that You'd use it, God. Oh, Lord, truly can do nothing without Thee, Lord. And I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, oh, Lord, that it would sink deep, Lord. For it is Your word. It is written in heaven. We thank You for it. And we praise You in Jesus' name, Lord. Asking that You'd get us to that higher ground. Asking, oh, Lord, that You'd make us like You, Lord. Oh, God, that we could get to that place. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. We just love him tonight. Oh, wow. You know, it'd just be good if we just came here and sang and praised and worshiped. I have one. Thank you. Thank you, dear. But, you know, because the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. There's just something about it when we praise him. You know, we praise him with all our hearts. And, you know, you can just feel, you know, something changing, you know. And the wheels begin to turn. And, you know, he begins to work in us. And all at once, things begin to click. And, you know, the things that were heavy and burdensome all at once, they begin to dissolve. That's our God. And we praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go into Romans 8th chapter tonight. We'll call this Led by the Spirit. And praise the Lord. With his help, we'll see what he shows us and where he takes us here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Beautiful chapter of Romans 8. We'll go there and trust the Lord that he'd take us to higher ground here tonight. Praise God. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It tells us in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, we're going to just pause here for a moment. And, you know, it is really something when we just think how gracious our Lord is and realize the wonderful price that he paid for our salvation. You know, these days we realize that a lot of people don't seem to realize how horrendous sin is and, you know, the consequences of it. You know that indeed it separates us from God if we don't have it taken care of. We don't come to the cross and we don't come to Jesus Christ to let him take care of our sin. We're in a hopeless state. And I believe these verses here in Romans 8, as it begins, it talks about now there's no condemnation. But that was not always the case, because we were all condemned. We were all sinners. We were all fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that we had no righteousness of our own. Our own righteousness was as filthy rags. We were all as an unclean thing. We were like a leaf that fades. And you know, there was nothing we could do. We were like the wind that had taken us away with our iniquities. But praise the Lord, there's one that had great mercy on us, you know. Great, great mercy, and saw us afar off. You know, I believe that Jesus saw us there. You know, when he was praying there in John, the 17th chapter, he was not only praying for those that were there with him or those that were following him at that moment, but he's praying for us, those that were afar off, those that he'd seen from the foundation of the world that, you know, had not yet come into being at that point. But God saw us. And wow, what a wonderful act of mercy. You know, there's nothing that can compare to what our Lord did. You know, we were, as I said, in such a state. You know, if we go to Isaiah 59 for a moment, it talks about the condition that we were in. And of course, as this chapter begins, it explains rather clearly our hopeless condition. It says in verse 1, Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He's not deaf. He's not dumb. He's, you know, he's seen it all. He's known it all. But there was something that got in the way of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Hey, God doesn't like sin. He hates it. You know, there's a problem with it. It separates us. We don't have a relationship with God when there's sin in our life. It's going to condemn us. It's going to send us to hell. And it talks about how he hid his face from us with those sins. You know? And then, it goes on to explain more here in this chapter. But I want to go to verse 12. And here it was. This was the tremendous, hopeless condition of mankind. It says in verse 12, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and for our iniquities we know them." Oh boy, they're all there. They're all there. "In transgressing and lying against the Lord, in departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood." Oh, man lives in sin, and what, you know, is so helpless to deliver himself. Doing things that maybe would even really not want to do, but in that state of sin, you know, one thing goes wrong after the other. Because the heart is far from God. And you know, things that come from the heart are wicked and ugly and full of falsehood. And it tells us in verse 14, "And judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Oh, that certainly is our condition here in this world today. Oh, the truth is so poorly esteemed. People so often don't even consider it and then take for something else, another gospel. And equity cannot enter. Tells us in verse 15, "Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." Even that person that tried to depart from iniquity made himself a prey. Everybody was noticing and mocking and, you know, thinking that they were the odd ones because they were trying to do good. And God saw it. He saw it. It displeased him. There was no judgment. You know, anything went. Anything goes. You know, good is evil and, you know, evil is good. Everything turned around backwards. Verse 16 says, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, there was no one to intervene in this hopeless state of mankind. There was no one who could bring forth salvation. So what did God do? He saw there was no one. There was no one that could bring it forth. So his arm brought salvation. In other words, God Almighty put on flesh and came to this world that he might save us. He put on flesh himself. He came to earth himself that he might bring salvation to a people that were in a hopeless condition. So his arm brought salvation unto him. His righteousness, it sustained him. Oh, he put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad as zeal, with zeal as a cloak. Oh, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, that zeal that he was going to come forth and redeem his people from their sins. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the wonderful mercy of the Lord. That's the wonderful mercy of the Lord. And of course, that vengeance is coming. That day of judgment is coming. That day when he will turn things around. And that righteous judgment will take its place. If vengeance is mine, I will repay. When everything comes to nothing that is not wrought in God. It tells us in verse 18, "According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense, paying back according to their deeds. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rising of the sun. when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And praise the Lord, oh praise the Lord, when we are clothed with his righteousness. Yes, that enemy may try to rise up against us, but the Spirit of the Lord covers us. It comes in like a flood to cover us, to keep us, to give us hope in the midst of darkness. And it says, a Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, God's wonderful promises. But here it was, that time back in Romans 8, that time when, oh wow, after God had wrought such a wonderful salvation, and what was he doing when he came to this earth, sending his own son, putting on that flesh in the likeness of sinful flesh? I mean, honestly, talk about, you know, putting yourself down, you know, demoting yourself, you know, to put on flesh with your almighty God, to put on sinful flesh. But he did that. He was condemning sin in the flesh because he lived in this world and he overcame. He overcame. And as it tells us in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh yes, he was giving hope. And as we know, that first covenant wasn't adequate. You know, the first covenant was after the flesh. And well, you know, they had to bring forth a creature, you know, a ram, a goat, a sheep before the Lord in order to gain forgiveness. And, you know, it was a work that they had to do in order to get right with the Lord. And yet it was just for the moment to take care of the sins that were behind them. And, you know, it would be a continuous state. They would have to do it again and again and again. It wasn't sufficient to take away sin in its entirety. But our God put on flesh because there was a new covenant that he was going to bring forth. And of course, Jeremiah 31 tells us of the wonderful covenant that he was going to bring forth. Oh, that new covenant that he was going to bring forth with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, those that he would redeem with his own blood. And of course, verse 32 in Jeremiah 31, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. No, he was going to bring forth something that was deeper, something that was sufficient, something that would take care of sin. He tells us in verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh yes, he was going to bring forth a covenant that would be written in our hearts, in our inward parts, so that we would know the Lord, that we could hear that voice that speaks to our soul, so that we could be led by the Spirit of God, and so that we could be his sons and his daughters. He will be their God, and they shall be my people. And it tells us in verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, yes, that sin that's buried in that sea of forgetfulness. What a beautiful, wonderful work the Lord has wrought so that we might have hope. And we don't have to go to the priest or to the prophet to find out what thus saith the Lord. We can all go to him as individuals. We can all meet with the Lord. We can all know him. We can all sense his presence. We can all be in that place where we know that he is our God and that we are his people. Oh, what a blessing that is. It was not like the old covenant. Of course, just going briefly to Ezekiel 36, it also tells about the work that the Lord would wrought with the new covenant. You look at verse 25 in Ezekiel 36. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Yes, praise the Lord. We can go down in the waters of baptism for the remission of our sins, so that those sins are no longer retained. They are no longer remembered. There is no more price that has to be paid for those sins. We are clean from all our filthiness, from all our idols. We are cleansed. And then he says, oh yes, we go down in the waters in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it explains in verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Not a stony heart that can't be moved, that can't be molded, that can't be shaped. But a heart of flesh, a heart that can be changed, a heart that can be molded, a heart that can be shaped, a heart that can become like the Lord. And it tells us in verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Well, that's the work of Calvary, that redemptive work that he did, and a wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost that he puts within us so that we'll know this is a way, walk in it. When you go to the right hand and when you go to the left, so you know what's right and wrong. It's in your heart. He convicts us. He talks to us. And what a wonderful thing that is. Going briefly to Ezekiel 37. Oh yes, Ezekiel prophesied to those dry, dead bones there in the very open valley there. And of course, who would ever think that they could live? They were so dried. They were so dead. But oh, something happens when the breath of the Lord comes upon our lives. Something happens when the Spirit of the Lord comes into our lives and begins to change us. Something happens when he breathes into us. Yes, he breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul, but he breathes into us the breath of eternal life. And that eternal Spirit of God, that eternal life begins to work in us. He comes to dwell in us. He comes in us to change us. Yes, he puts his breath in us, just as he did there in the valley of those dead, dry bones as they begin to come together. Oh, yes, as those bones begin to snap together and the sinews came upon them and then the flesh came upon them and then the breath of God eventually. Oh, yes, they weren't anything, even though they were all together until that breath of God began to breathe into them. They might have looked human, but they weren't breathing yet. They weren't there yet. But praise the Lord, he had Ezekiel breathe into those. They have the breath of the Lord breathe unto them to prophesy that the breath of the Lord would come upon those slain. And praise the Lord, that breath came unto them. Oh, and they began to live. They were alive. They stood on their feet. They were an exceeding great army the Lord had brought together. That is the way it is. Of the Lord, we're lost, we're undone, we have no hope. But wow, we come to the Lord and he begins to rework us, when he begins to change us, when he begins to mold us and shape us, and he puts his breath in us, he breathes in us the breath of eternal life, fills us with the Holy Ghost, and we become alive in the Lord. Yes, it says in verse 11, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Yes, we were all dead in our sins and our transgressions, our trespasses. And it says in verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Yes, it takes the breath of the Lord to make us alive in the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, on the day of Pentecost, the breath of the Lord began to blow. Yes, there as they were in the upper room, the breath of the Holy Ghost came down. The Lord began to breathe into those people, those 120 that were in the upper room. And praise the Lord, things began to change in their lives. Oh yes, that was the promise of the Father that He said He would pour out upon them in that day. Yes, suddenly that sound from heaven is a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Oh yes, the appearance of cloven tongues on them like as a fire sitting upon them. And all at once they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and the manifestation came forth. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yes, what was this? That was the breath of the Lord coming into their life. That was the Holy Ghost. That was the Spirit. Yes, Jesus gave it up on the cross. He gave up the ghost. But there He said, there before He ascended, He breathed on those that were in that room there in John the 20th chapter and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Yes, His breath was going to come forth. He said, go ye to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Yes, that breath was going to come forth. And there it was on the day of Pentecost. The breath of the Holy Ghost came forth. Oh, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, that condemnation was therefore gone because we've been freed from it when we're in Christ Jesus. Those that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now we can walk after the Spirit because His breath is now within us. And as it says in Romans 8th chapter, that the righteousness of the law, verse 4, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And it says in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There's an entire difference between the old man and the new man. You know, we were all in our sins and trespasses. We all walked after the flesh. But there was no hope in that. It tells us to be carnally minded is death. If we walk after the flesh, we're carnally minded. It's death. It's spiritual damnation. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It explains in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal man, the natural man, cannot walk after the ways of God. It's impossible. It explains in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Just as clear as that. And then it explains, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. And it explains in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The old desires, the old man, is all put down because we're dead from that old world, the desires that we once had. You know, there's a new man walking in my shoes after that point. We don't want to do the things that we used to do. You know, we begin to despise them and loathe them. And you know, we desire the things that are above. And of course, that resurrecting power of the Lord works within us. It explains, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. We have to be changed. We're not going to make it to heaven with that natural body. You know, we were all born into this world. But as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. But marvel not that I say, said unto thee, you must be born again. Because as it tells us also in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, oh man, you know, it tells us clearly, verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It's not going to make it if we've not been born again of the water and of the Spirit. We're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, as it explains. There's a difference. It explains earlier here in verse 44 that, you know, we're sown in the first place a natural body, a natural man. But then when we come to the Lord and we're born again, it is raised a spiritual body. It explains there is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. It's night and day. There's a great difference. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, or the last Adam, excuse me, was made a quickening spirit. We are made alive, quickened by the Spirit of God. That's the breath of God that breathes into us, the breath of eternal life. And there's an order to it. It explains in verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as it is in the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, night and day. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Of course, we know that we're going to be changed. Our mortal bodies are going to be changed at that last trump. Oh, yes, yes. The soul goes to be with the Lord, but those bodies are also going to be raised at that last trump. And wow, at that point, this mortal is going to put on immortality. We're no longer going to be subject to the things of the flesh. We're not going to be subject to death. We're not going to be subject to sickness. We're not going to be subject to trouble. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And all this mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible body that's known to decay is going to put on incorruption. We're going to be changed to be like the Lord. We're going to see Him as He is. We're going to know Him like He is. And forever we're going to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's the point when all that saying has come to pass. That death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, it's going to be over at that moment. All these things that we bear here in this world will be over at that time. We can say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? But the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as long as there's sin, there's corruption. And the law was just a temporary setup to temporarily take care of sin for the moment. But the Lord had a plan that was subject beyond that, a plan that was greater, a plan that would give us great hope and deliver us so that we could be like unto the Lord, that we could have His Spirit dwelling within us and we could live in a state where we would know Him. Praise the Lord. Back in Romans 8, again, yes, that resurrected power that He puts within us, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. If it dwells in us, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's the thing that makes us alive. That's the thing that's going to take us to heaven. And then it says in verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It's you know, you can't entertain sin. You can't entertain it and be alive in the Lord. Sin has an end. Sin brings forth death. Sin brings eternal separation from God. But praise the Lord for the plan that He has, that we could come to Him, that we could come to Him in repentance and give Him our past, give Him our sins, lay it down and let Him take it from us. Praise the Lord, and going down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And then it tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's what it takes, being led by the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit that was in God, the Spirit that was in Christ, the Spirit that God put in Christ, and therefore in His children. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption. Yes, what happens when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Another thing here is that we receive the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He makes us His sons and daughters. And we can cry, Abba, Father, because now we belong to Him. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. All the wonderful things that He does for us because of Calvary, because of the hope that He has put within us. But you see, there's something that has to be laid down. That thing is called sin. Sin is not going to enter into heaven. And how we thank God that He made a provision that we could come to Him, that we could be forgiven, and that we could walk in faith, and that we wouldn't have to be subject to the will of the flesh. You know, not that we're not tempted, and not that we're not tried, and not that we don't have to work at it, because we all do have to make out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It's you know, it's going to be a continual thing. It's not laying down your flesh, your old man, just once, but it's going to be a day-by-day thing, dying to the flesh and giving things to God, and realizing that our hope is in Him, that we have to yield our hearts to Him, that we have to be led by Him, that we have to let Him direct our path. And there's many places where it talks about that great need. You know, in Galatians, the 6th chapter, it tells us in verse 7 to not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a law there. You know, what you sow, the way you live your life, the things you do, the words you say, you're sowing. And you're going to reap according to it. And it explains in verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, it is so important that we give our lives to the Lord. It's so important that we become subject to His will and to His leading. Because otherwise, if we're just in the flesh and we do the things of the flesh, you know, we entertain sin, then there's condemnation. There's going to be corruption. But the need is to sow to the Spirit. And the promise is that they that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Oh yes, something that goes on and on for all eternity. Oh, praise the Lord. The wonderful promises of God. It tells us in verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, sometimes it seems like, you know, we've waited a long time. You know, we've gone through this, we've gone through that, and, you know, it sometimes seems like things aren't ever going to add up. They're not going to make sense. It seems like, you know, we might have witnessed to, you know, 100 people, maybe 1,000 people for all I know, and it seemed like there was, you know, no aftermath. But there's a promise here. There's a, you know, a promise of God. There's a law here. What you're going to sow, you're going to reap. There's a time of reaping. You know, we go forth sowing. And, you know, it tells us, he that goeth forth sowing and with weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's a time when it's all going to come back. the Lord is going to compensate us. We're going to, you know, reap those good things that we sowed. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. But, you know, we laid down our old man. We laid down that old life. And, oh my, we go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. It tells us how to be renewed in the spirit of our minds so that we can be led by the Spirit. If we look at verse 22 in Ephesians 4, it tells us here that he put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, if a person tells me that they're a Christian and they haven't changed, and they're still living in sin and entertaining it and doing the things, you know, that most people do, I'm gonna have a great big question mark. Because something happens when the Lord is working in our hearts. All at once, you know, the old things of this world, suddenly, you know, they don't draw us anymore. You know, we don't want to do the same things. You know, we don't want to go to the bars and drink with the guys or with the gals or whatever, you know. We don't want to pick up those ugly old cigarettes and smoke them. You know, we don't want to go to the dance halls and you know, waltz around there or whatever. You know, the music of this world becomes obnoxious to us because God has done a work in us and all at once we're changed. So we put off those things. You know, if there was something that led us astray, that something that would tempt us, something that would be a snare, we set it down because we don't want to be hindered by the old man, by the old ways, by the things that brought forth condemnation in the past. So we put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And it tells us to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh yes, how do we renew our mind? Oh yes, we get into the presence of the Lord down there on our knees. We worship Him. We can praise Him. We can sing to Him. We can rejoice in Him. We do the things that are sowing to the Spirit. We do the works that are fruitful. And the Lord begins to lead us as, you know, we renew our mind day by day so that we will have strength. We put on Christ. It tells us here in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And the old things all go away. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. All those deceitful, dishonest things of the past, they're gone. And it tells us, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Oh, yes. We don't want, you know, something hanging over our heads when we go to sleep at night. You know, we want it all to be taken care of. If there is something that bothered us during the day, we want to give it to the Lord. That night before, you know, we lay down on our pillow and go to sleep, we give it to God. We just don't want something turning over in us and disturbing us, something that would hinder us. And then it tells us, neither give place to the devil. That means to give no room to the devil, no opportunities to the devil. You know, there's things that sometimes are gray areas. And, you know, we are to avoid the very appearance of evil. Here it tells us, neither give place to the devil. So that means, you know, there's some things that we don't want to have in our house. There's some things we don't want to do because they could be hindrances. They could disturb us. They could mislead us. Or they could mislead somebody else. So we don't want to give him any opportunity to rule our lives. Or to bother somebody else, to mislead or misdirect or cause somebody to stumble. So we don't want to give him any opportunity. We want to stay as far away from sin as is possible. Tells us in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Oh yes, a complete opportunity, that person that lived that life away from God, that, you know, had those characteristics, you couldn't trust that person, you know, he'd be sneaky and do things behind your back, or, you know, maybe he was an outright thief. But praise the Lord, when God changes that life, there's a turnaround, there's no more stealing, there's no more thievery, you know, and you want to do the things that are honest, that are good, laboring with one's hands, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Doing the thing which is good. And what else begins to change as we give our life to the Lord? It tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh yes, our vocabulary begins to change, doesn't it? Oh yeah, those little sneaky words that came out of one's mouth. And sometimes you wonder if some of these people have any vocabulary at all, because, you know, they're just, you know, completely cursing and swearing and, you know, saying vexing things continuously with their mouth. It's like they have no good thing to say. But when the Lord begins to work in our hearts, oh, it changes our vocabulary. Oh, so that we might be an honor to the Lord. We can use our mouth to speak to those things which are to the use of edifying or building up, in other words, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Yes, they can tell, you know, we're going to glorify the Lord with our words. There's going to be a praise that comes out of our mouth, and a thankfulness, and, you know, an attitude that glorifies the Lord. And we certainly, you know, don't want to curse or swear, you know, talk in any way that would bring corruption, that would bring about some kind of rotten sort of perception to others that is of the old man. None of that. And then it tells us in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh yes, that Holy Spirit that he puts in within us is actually a seal that he puts upon our lives. It tells us in the first chapter of Ephesians, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And what is that Holy Spirit of promise? And it tells us in verse 14 here, Ephesians 1, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. It's the down payment of our inheritance. He puts that Spirit within us. It's the earnest of our inheritance. It, you know, if he put it within us, he's going to come back for us. He's going to come back to redeem us, because he's got something. He's invested in us. He's put his Spirit within us. And it's a seal. You are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After that, we believed. Do you know? And so it is. It tells us in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. People grieve that Spirit of God when they try to live a double life. When they try to, you know, live part in the world and part in the kingdom of God. You know, they just, you know, go so far and then just kind of stop. So many people are like that. They've got one foot in the world and they think they've got one foot in the kingdom of God. But there's grief there. You know, sin grieves the Lord. It's to have no part of the child of God. It's life. You know, there's supposed to be a remarkable difference when we give our hearts to the Lord. And we don't want to grieve him by our conduct, by our words, by our way of living. We just don't want to have anything like that at all. and all those things that try to creep in, you know, the idolatry, the unbelief, the hypocrisy, the works of the flesh that all sometimes try to sneak in, the things that we have to put down. Because if we're led by the Spirit of God, then they have no part in us. There's no place for them at all. It tells us in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And anything that's, you know, hateful or harmful, any desires like that, you know, any obnoxious desires, just, you know, see people suffer, all that sort of thing. There's, you know, a complete change in us. We are to pray for those that hate us, those that despise us, those that persecute us. There's a turnaround. When Jesus spoke his message on the Sermon on the Mount, he was changing things. It was no longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but instead we were to love them that hate us, pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us. It's a turnaround from the old man, because he was changing us. He was bringing forth a new covenant, one that would be brought forth with his blood there on the cross, so that we could have hope, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be filled with his Spirit, and so that we could be led by the Spirit of God. So we put away all those old things, all those old characteristics. And 32 here, that last verse in this chapter, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we realize we're all flesh, and at times, you know, at times we may not be perfect, but, you know, that love of God that he puts within us is something deep. It's something that we can share. You know, it's something that's going to make a difference. It's going to cause us to forgive one another. It's going to cause us to love one another. It's going to cause us to be kind one to another, because, you know, we're going to realize what God did for us. He came, you know, when we were yet sinners. He died for the ungodly. We were not in good shape. There was nothing that we did to earn salvation. You know, there was nothing that made us deserving of his rich grace, his mercy toward us. But there we were in that low state. And a God who hates sin, a God who does not tolerate it, but yet somehow he reached out to us, didn't he? He reached out there on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There he was on the cross. He who had done no sin, taking our sin upon himself, bearing himself on the cross there so that we might have hope. Oh, we could never deserve it, could we? Oh, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, as it tells us in Titus. You know, the third chapter, verse 5 and 6. You know, it's a wonderful work of redemption that he did. You know, here we were. We had all sinned. We had all come short of the glory of the Lord. But he reached down. He reached down to us in our lowest state. He reached down so that we might be his sons and his daughters, so that we might be heirs to the kingdom of God, so that we could know him, that we could have fellowship with him, so that we could live for him, so that we could live above sin. And you know, therefore, there's no condemnation if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That condemnation, that thing that separated us from God, is completely gone. And what a privilege it is. Tells us in Romans, the 6th chapter, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God, be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Yes, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, he died. We might be redeemed from our sins. And he was buried, and likewise we are buried in the waters of baptism. Oh, yes, so that those sins can be put to death. So that that old man doesn't have to rise up in our hearts. So that body of sin can be destroyed. And henceforth we don't serve sin, as it tells us in Romans 6. What a wonderful privilege it is. That's what he's done for us. And then the resurrecting power of the Holy Ghost that he has promised for all those that come unto him, that gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, as we are led by him, we're going to do the works that he did. You know, he's going to talk to our hearts. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to show us what we need to do day by day. You know, it might be, you know, one day we might be led to pray. You know how it is, how the Lord puts people on our hearts. And, you know, we don't know. Sometimes you don't know what a difference that might make in that person's life. Sometimes it might be writing a letter, an email or something. You know, you might be testifying to somebody who's out there. You know, you don't know exactly how it might be. Maybe it's a telephone call that, you know, you just feel led to do. The graciousness, the goodness of God, you know, just such a dear thing that the Lord, he gives us that ability so that, you know, we can do something for him, that we can bring forth fruit, that we can, you know, walk in the Spirit, and, you know, our minds are stayed upon him. And you know, there's a wonderful change in our lives so that we've killed the deeds of the flesh so that we no longer want to walk in the old way. And it tells us, yes, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. His children are going to walk according to his ways. There's got to be a difference in our lives. You know, he's going to put a song in our heart, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. As it tells us in Psalms 40, you know, he took us up out of the miry clay and he set our feet on the rock, Christ Jesus. He put something deep down within us that gives glory to God, that rejoices in God our Savior. For he's brought us forth, oh my, out of this world into his marvelous light. Oh yes, the goodness of the Lord that has brought us to salvation. That hope that he's given us so that we can mortify the deeds of the flesh. And instead we can live after the Spirit. We can live and be led by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, you know, it's going to lead you into all kinds of adventure when you're walking in the Spirit. You know, you just never quite know sometimes, you know, just what that day may bring forth. You know, I get surprised all the time. You know, you just don't know. You know, I've mentioned this, of course, before, but, you know, it might be that homeless man back there, you know, as I know Brother Tim and I were in Spokane, Washington, those couple years ago, or really maybe not quite that long ago, actually, it's just a few months ago, rather. You know, there, you know, just went into this beverage mart and looking for a tea to buy at that point, but there were some people in there that we needed to talk to, you know. I went in there and I'm wondering, oh, I don't know, I don't think this place is, you know, really where we wanted to go, but, you know, I don't think it's got that tea, but, you know, there was a woman there that needed Jesus. She's just sitting there, you know, you could tell. You could tell she needed Jesus. Oh, wow. We could minister to her. And we went outside, and there was a man sitting there with his dog up against the building. And, oh, I knew. I could feel it in my heart. Yeah. I had to talk to that man. You know, the Lord was leading. He was guiding. There was a purpose here. You know, we don't always know why we do some things if the Lord is leading us. It might seem way off track at times. But there was a man there that needed Jesus. Praise the Lord. We were able to talk to him. We were able to pray with him. You know, and I don't know what changes it made with him. We, of course, we left him materials. And, you know, we told him what the Lord had put on our hearts. But, you know, he said nobody had ever prayed for him before. You just never know, you know. You just never know as the Lord leads us. You know, you might be coming across a backslider, you know, somebody that had known the Lord, or, you know, somebody with a praying mother, grandmother, and father, or whatever, and you know, backslidden, turned away, and it need, you know, somebody to redirect their lives. Oh yeah, you just never know as you walk with the Lord, you know, you just never know how he's going to guide, how he's going to lead. But Scripture tells us those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Yes, as, you know, God begins to direct our path, you know, things begin to change, you know, our lives begin to bring forth fruit because he's in us. He's in us, and you know, you just never know, you know, you just might be that person at the nursing home that never heard about Jesus. And I don't know how many times, you know, I was able to talk to somebody right before they died. It's incredible sometimes. You know, somebody that I was able to just say whatever the Lord put on my heart. And you know, the next time, a few days later, maybe even hours later, they were gone. But the Lord gave opportunity, led us to, you know, that moment where we could say something, you know, that person could have hope. You know, I just never forget that moment there. My mom was in the nursing home those last 2 years of her life, and we'd all been out in one of the eating halls and with mom, and I felt like I needed to go back into the room, and here was the woman who was also shared the room with my mother, but she had Alzheimer's or something, and you know, it had always been, you know, just, you could tell there's just completely out of it. But the Lord directed me into that room, and she was coherent. I mean, you could tell she was just sitting there as normal as it could be. And I just knew in my heart I had to speak to that woman. I had to say what the Lord put in my heart to say. I'm not quite sure just all it did, but I know what. I know the Lord led me there for that moment. I could tell she was Catholic. There were Catholic relics all over that room. But the Lord had me speak to her. And, you know, she died a couple days later. But the Lord came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Therefore, he put his Spirit within us, so that we could be led by him, so that we could be used by him, so we could be his vehicle, that we could help somebody who doesn't know him, so we could redirect somebody, so we could bring hope to somebody. Oh yeah, they might not look at that track right away. They might stick it in their drawer and look at it 2 years later. But you know what? It may speak to them at that time. You know, the words that we speak in a moment, you know, maybe don't connect right away, but the Lord can use it. The Lord can use our words and amplify them and, you know, stretch them out and, you know, put them deep in this person so that they would never forget it, or that it would come to them at that moment when they're ready to receive it. We don't know, but praise the Lord, he can direct our lives. He could direct our lives. You know, we don't know who's out there. You know, it is remarkable. You know, sometimes it might seem like there's nobody. But, I mean, I remember sometimes that I walk and usually try to put some tracks in my pocket and just see if, you know, there's just maybe somebody out there that I can talk to. Remember, I think it was a Sunday one time, and here was a lady in the corner. I believe she had her dog, and you know, just stop here, you know, stop here, you know, there's somebody here you need to talk to. And first, you know, she's a little reluctant. I think she thought it was a Jehovah's Witness or something at the first, but, you know, begin to talk to her, get to talk to her. And I knew the Lord put me there. You know, I knew it was for His cause. And for whatever reason, I haven't seen her yet. I did invite her to church, of course, and all this and that. But, you know, those opportunities that the Lord gives us because He's leading us by His Spirit. You know, another time I was walking I was kind of going another direction, actually. It seemed kind of strange because the sun was in my face. The sun was going down at that moment, but I felt I just had to walk west. A man was coming towards me. He had a child in a stroller, and all at once the child fell out of the stroller. And I just felt like I needed to go talk to that man. And I asked if I could pray for the child. And, you know, it was just really amazing because the Lord gave me words. And that man was touched. He said he would come to church too, you know. But it was like tears running down his face, you know. You don't know these divine appointments that the Lord gives us. When we make ourselves available to the Lord and let Him lead us, let Him guide us, let Him direct us. But that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. You know, Jesus was that example Himself. Because, you know, after He was baptized, it tells us in Luke the 4th chapter how He was led into the wilderness. By the Spirit of God, He was led there, and it couldn't have been easy. He was there those 40 days fasting, but God had led Him there. There was a work that had to be done. He was going to defeat the devil at that moment. But it shows us what it's like to be led of the Holy Ghost. Luke 4, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And God used him. He was able to defeat the devil. Those temptations, yes, he totally put the devil down. And you know, when he returned into Galilee, if you skip to verse 14, it tells us, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. There was a power there. Because there he had been. He had been in the wilderness those 40 days, tempted of the devil. He was fasting. He was praying. But when he returned, after he had defeated the devil, after he put down the old man, he fasted those days. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And it tells us there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Yes, God was using him. God was leading him. That Spirit of God was mightily in him. And many wonderful works came forth. And you know, Jesus said, you know, these same works that I have done shall you do also, and more works shall you do, because I go unto the Father. There, I believe it's John the 14th chapter. Those same works that he did, we are to do too. I don't know, just little by little, if the Lord can help us, you know, to gain that place with him, to gain that boldness with him, to gain that strength with him, to have that power with him. How does it come? It comes when we get in God's presence, when we find Him, when we allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives, to mold us, to shape us, to change us. You know, we learn to put down that old man so that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Oh yes, so that we can be led by the Spirit of God, so we could live after His ways. So we can mortify the deeds of the body. As it tells us again, Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. I praise the Lord. He's made a way for us. He's given us that ability through His Spirit to live above sin, to to put down sin, to be a new man. And praise the Lord for that. We have not received the spirit of bondage to get to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption. Praise the Lord. And we are now joint heirs with Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have so much to thank the Lord. I'm thankful He can lead us. He can guide us. He can direct us. Oh, yes, there's work to be done. But it's only going to be, it's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God. The Spirit that works within us. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your mighty word. We thank You for what You've done for us, Lord. And, oh God, that You would call us while we were yet sinners. That You would have mercy on us while we were yet sinners. God, oh God, that You'd give us hope when we were so hopelessly in sin, Lord God, in such bondage, oh Lord, in such a captivity. But Lord, oh God, we thank You for what You've done. And God, I pray, oh Lord, that You work in our hearts. Oh God, I pray that You change us. I pray that the Holy Ghost would fall, Lord God. And oh God, I pray that You'd raise us up, oh Lord, to do mighty works for Thee, Lord. To live after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Oh God, oh Lord, that You'd help us, Lord. Lead us, show us, get us to that place, Lord. Help us to learn, oh God, how to walk with You, Lord. Oh God, how to live for You, Lord. How to have that abundant life, oh God. How to be led by the Spirit. Oh God, how to be Your sons and daughters. Oh God, we thank You, Lord. I pray that You work in our hearts. Oh God, strong men would be bound in every work of darkness. You work in us, that You give us faith, Lord, that You'd rise in our hearts. Oh God, that the day star would rise in our hearts, that Your Spirit would help us to come alive in You, Lord, that You'd breathe in us. Oh Lord, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of everlasting life. Oh God, so that we could walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Oh Lord, we praise Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank God. He was nailed to the cross for us. Oh, praise the Lord. He was nailed to that cross. Oh, that we might have His Spirit, that we might have eternal life, that we might be His sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, God.
Praise You, Lord.
What was that? All right. Well, we're gonna sing a song here in the Melodies of Praise hymnal, number 178. Where He leads, I'll follow.
Promises, kind is the word, nearer far than Abel's man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, and this I see, He the great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads a follow all the way. Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus hath shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, the great example is in pattern for me. He leads a follow the way. Oh, he leads a follow Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior, and thy soul is secure. Here, he leads the follow the way. Oh, where he leads the follow Jesus every day. Where he leads the
God, and you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Years of communism without any teaching at all, and then you pack it all